Hello, everyone, and welcome to English Digest. Today, we're still on our travel unit, and we're going to go through the second day of this unit. The article is, of course, called Into the Jungles of Peru. But before we continue, let's find out who else is in the studio.
Hi, everybody. It's Joe.
And my name is Lily. Hey, Joe. So yesterday we talked about, you know, exciting things happening on trips, maybe a little bit dangerous. But I have to ask you, have you actually been to South America before?
Actually, I've never been to South America. I've been to Central America. I've been down to Mexico. And I guess that's the only place I've been down there. I've been down to the Caribbean, which is not too far away, down to the island called the Dominican Republic, the island that is that country, and also Haiti. But I've never had the opportunity to go down to South America. And it's a place that I've always wanted to go, and especially down to Peru, because it has such varied landscape. It has the Andes Mountains, that famous mountain range that goes down the western coast of South America. And it also has the Amazon rainforest, which our author is making his way through as well. So it sounds like it'd be a very interesting, very beautiful place.
Well, that's true. I actually haven't been to South America myself, but I'm similar to you in that I would love to go and experience the Amazon myself. All right, listeners, we're going to read through the second day of this unit. So if you haven't opened up your magazines, please do so.
In the morning, we broke camp and began our trek deeper into the jungle. When we started to grow weary, Hector showed us a novel trick. As he hacked down a jungle vine with his knife, I was amazed to see a stream of pure water pour out. The vine was passed around, and we took turns drinking from this natural fountain. We reached our next camp and waited for night to fall before starting our hike through the jungle. Hector stooped to the ground and picked up a spider the size of his hand. Just a minute later, I found a frog as tiny as my fingernail. The Amazon is an amazing place. We continued through the jungle when Hector suddenly gave a shout. Reaching into the trees, he pulled out a furry white mammal and handed it to me. It was a sloth. Although unhappy to be held, the creature lazily tolerated our presence and waited to be put back in his tree. Our next discovery would not go as quietly. In a clearing, we saw a massive anaconda, 5 meters long and as thick as a telephone pole. Hector charged into action and grabbed it by the head, while our guide motioned for me to join in. The animal struggled, but our combined power overcame him, and we paused for photos with the hissing, spitting beast.
All right, listeners, now it's time to go through today's article. Let's start with the first paragraph. In the morning, we broke camp and began our trek deeper into the jungle. So if you remember from yesterday's article, you know, they bedded down and the writer was a little bit disappointed that things weren't as exciting as he thought they would be. Well, the next morning, they broke camp. When you break camp, it basically means that, you know, you take things down. Usually when you camp, you have a tent that you sleep in. You know, you've got all the things that you've used throughout the night. When you break camp, you know, you have to store these things away. You have to put them back in your packs. And they began their trek deeper into the jungle. When you go on a trek, it means that, you know, you're basically going on a really, really long walk. And most people, they think of a trek as going through, you know, natural environments. So maybe through the desert. And in this case here, they're going through the jungle. So they're getting deeper into the jungle, meaning, you know, they're probably going further and further away from a city or any kind of town, and they're just going to be surrounded by jungle.
And of course, doing this sort of thing can be very exhausting. It can be very tiring because it's not like you're walking on this carefully groomed path through the jungle. You're kind of just going through it and hacking your way through the jungle. You have to make your own way through it, so it can be very tiring. So it says when we started to grow weary, when we use this phrase to grow something, it doesn't mean like to grow, to get bigger. It means to become. So when we became weary, which means tired, Hector showed us a novel trick. If something is novel, if we use that word to describe it, it means that it is kind of new or profound, or it's like something that you wouldn't have thought of. it's like when you describe something as being a novelty. It's like something you wouldn't see every day. So this trick, it was a novel trick because it's like something the author wouldn't have thought to do himself.
Well, as he hacked down a jungle vine with his knife, I was amazed to see a stream of pure water pour out. So this is what Hector did. He hacked down a jungle vine. When you hack something down, it's almost like you're basically using a very big movement, usually using something like a knife, basically to cut something down. That's probably very difficult to cut down. In this case, he's trying to cut down a jungle vine, almost kind of like a rope, if you can imagine, but it's kind of a plant. If you know the story of Tarzan, about that boy or that man who grows up in the jungle, he usually holds onto vines to swing from tree to tree. Well, Hector, he cuts down a vine with his knife, and the writer, he's amazed to see that a stream of pure water pours out. He's amazed. He's really surprised. There's a stream, almost basically, you can see water moving through the vine and coming out because Hector's actually cut the vine. So there's actually water in the vine. So I suppose if you're trekking through the Amazon and you really need a drink of water, but you don't have any water on you, all you have to do is cut down a jungle vine.
That's right. That's one of the survival tips they would have learned from their guide, because due to their experience, they would know all these great ways that you can survive in the Amazon rainforest when you don't have things with you, things like food and water. It's very difficult to carry all of these things with you, so the more tricks you know to survive in the rainforest, the better off you'll be. So, of course, the vine was passed around, and they took turns drinking from this natural fountain. So they passed it around just like you would pass around a canteen or a bottle of water, except this is completely natural, and they took turns drinking from this natural fountain. If something is natural, it means it comes from nature, it comes from earth. It's not man-made, so they're just enjoying this natural fountain of water that they got just from the rainforest itself.
Well, that's a great thing about, you know, doing trips like this. Some people would probably say that this is kind of an ecotourism type of trip where you go into a natural environment, you know, you're able to go through, you kind of live close to the earth. Also, you learn a lot about that area. For example, in this case, I had no idea that, for example, if you're in the jungle, you just hack down a jungle vine and you have a source of water. Well, let's take a look at the next paragraph, which begins with, We reached our next camp and waited for night to fall before starting our hike through the jungle. All right, so they reached their next camp. So they reached the place where they were going to camp out next. They probably had to set everything up. They were going to sleep in this place. And then they waited for night to fall. When you're waiting for night to fall, you can kind of imagine, you know, the sun coming down, and it's almost like the sky gets really dark. And as the sun sets, it's just like, you can see, it's almost like a blanket that covers the sky. Now, in this case, they were making up their camp for the next night. But here's something interesting. They were going to start their hike through the jungle after waiting for night to fall. Now, I don't know about you, Joe, but I'd be pretty scared about hiking through the jungle in the evening.
I think I would be too, because it'd just be completely dark and, you know, like every little sound, I would probably think that it was something that's coming to eat me or coming to attack me or something like that. But a lot of animals, they're nocturnal, meaning they only come out at night. So this was probably the best opportunity for them to see some creatures that they would only get to see at night. So we learn about some of those creatures in the next sentence. It says, Hector stooped to the ground and picked up a spider the size of his hand. Now, that's pretty freaky to me. I'm not a big spider guy. I don't really like spiders, even the small ones. But this one was as big as his hand. And because he's a big nature guy, you know, he's used to all this. This is no big deal for him. He just reached right down and picked it right up off the ground. We say he stooped down. That's kind of like he bent down. He bent over to pick up this spider. Now, for me, if I see a spider the size of my hand, or even the size of my finger, I'm leaving that guy alone. He's staying down there on the ground, and I'm probably staying up on a chair somewhere or far, far away from that spider anyway.
Well, I think I agree with you. But in this case, you know, if you're in the jungle, especially the Amazon, you can expect to see things like this, animals and insects that are probably very different to the things that you've seen outside of the jungle. Now, just a minute later, the writer says, I found a frog as tiny as my fingernail. So this is really interesting. So, of course, at first they see a huge, huge spider, because usually when I see spiders, they're maybe the size of a coin, not the size of your hand. But then on the other side, the writer, he found a tiny little frog. Now, I've seen little frogs before, but, you know, they're usually the size of, I don't know, like a dumpling, something about that big. But in this case, the writer sees a frog as tiny as his fingernail. That's a really tiny frog. I'm actually surprised he was able to see it.
Well, that's why he says the Amazon is an amazing place, because there's such a diversity of life there. I mean, there's species there that have not even been discovered yet. And it is the place on Earth where there's the most diversity of life. You can find things that are absolutely massive, like the spider that he found that was the size of his hand. And you'll also find things that you will only see if you look very, very closely, like the small frog that he found. It's just so amazing how diverse the life can be there. And just depending on how closely you look, it's just amazing the different things that you can find there in the Amazon jungle.
All right, listeners, that's it for the first half of today's article. Now it's time for some Chinese explanation.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 到了进入丛林的隔天早上呢，我们就看到这一群人 broke camp。在这里呢 ，broke camp 就解释成为拔营。除了用 break 这个动词之外，我们也可以说 strike camp 都是有拔营的意思。而相反的，如果你要说扎营，你就可以说 make camp。他们在拔营之后就继续出发。那么当他们觉得很疲倦的时候呢 ，Hector 又展现了一个新的小把戏哦。在这里，疲倦的我们就解释成为 weary。The boys were weary from the long walk. 这些小男孩啊，因为长时间的步行而感到非常的疲惫，所以看到大家都觉得很疲惫、无聊的时候呢 ，Hector showed us a novel trick. Novel 在这里呢，可以解释成为新奇的、新的。它的名词 novelty。N-O-V-E-L-T-Y. 所以我们说一个新的处理人口问题的方法，我们就可以说 A novel approach to the population problem. 结果他做了什么事啊？他就 hacked down, 砍了这个呢丛林里面的一个藤蔓，就发现哇，好多很清澈的水呢就从藤蔓当中呢就流了出来。And we took turns drinking from this natural fountain. 在这里的 take turns 就是有轮流的意思，后面加的是 V-I-N-G, a fountain 本来就是有喷泉的意思，因为啊，这个藤蔓一被砍断之后，水就喷出来，跟喷泉一般。继续呢，他们就往前走，然后呢，发现了另外一个地方，而这个时候 Hector stoopedto the ground and picked up a spider the size of his hand. 在这里的 stoop 则是有俯身、弯腰的意思，常常可以搭配 down 这个字。He stoops with age 就解释成为他因为年老而腰越来越弯了。而在句子后面的 the size of his hand 就等于补充说明前面的 a spider。 结果几分钟之后啊，这个作者呢又发现了另外的青蛙，小的呢是跟自己的 fingernail 指甲一般的小，所以就说啦The Amazon is an amazing place. 这个亚马逊森林丛林啊，真是一个令人惊奇的地方啊。
We're going to take a short break, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll continue with the rest of today's article.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to English Digest. My name is Joe, and I'm here with Lily today, and we're discussing day two of our article entitled Into the Jungles of Peru. So by now, our author is well into the Amazon jungle, and he's begun a trek or a journey on foot through the Amazon jungle. And as they travel along, they're learning all about the jungle. They're learning some survival tips, like, for instance, he learned that if you need a drink of water in the Amazon, all you have to do is cut down a vine and you can enjoy a drink of nice natural water from the vine. They're also learning about the great diversity of life in the Amazon rainforest. They're finding all kinds of different creatures. They're finding giant spiders and frogs that are only the size of your fingernail. So the author so far is just amazed at all the things he's learning and all the things that he's discovering in the jungle.
Well, let's continue on and let's start with the third paragraph. We continued through the jungle when Hector suddenly gave a shout. So they were continuing. They were continuing to walk through the jungle. And then Hector, the Argentinian, he suddenly gave a shout. So they weren't expecting this. You know, they're walking through, probably looking at all of the things that they can see in the Amazon. And suddenly Hector, you know, he probably, you know, cries out pretty loudly because he sees something pretty interesting. Reaching into the trees, he pulled out a furry white mammal and handed it to me. Well, I don't know if this is such a good idea when you're in the Amazon if you suddenly just reach out and grab an animal that's on the tree.
Well, I guess because he's been there so often and he's gone through the jungle, he knows what he's looking for, and I guess he knows what he's doing. So he reaches into the trees and he finds a sloth. Now, I'm not sure if you know what a sloth is, but they're very docile, very slow-moving creatures. And the reason that they're very slow is because the things that they eat are actually poisonous. And they're in their stomach, they have to kind of neutralize those poisons. So it's almost like they're kind of drunk all the time because of the toxins that are in their systems. So they just move very slowly, very deliberately. They're kind of funny to watch, just the way they're so docile, just sitting there in the trees, just going about things at their own pace. And so they found one of these things, and they pulled it right out of the tree. And although it was unhappy to be held, the creature lazily tolerated their presence and waited to be put back in his tree. So it's just kind of like the sloth is saying, okay, fine, I'm not happy that you've taken me out of my tree. I was just sitting there being a lazy sloth like I like to do, but I'm going to tolerate it. It means that you're going to put up with what's happening to you. And it's just going to wait until it gets put back in its tree so it can go about doing whatever it is that sloths do, I guess.
Well, that's true. You usually see that kind of expression on, let's say, maybe children that, you know, are held. So someone's actually holding on, carrying a child. They don't want to be held. Most children will probably try to wriggle away, try to jump out from that hold. In this case, the creature, the sloth, you know, it's not that happy, but it's lazily tolerating their presence. So it understands that, you know, these humans are around him and it's tolerating them. Saying, oh, okay, that's all right. If you're lazy, it means that, you know, you don't really want to do much. Most people, you know, when they're pretty tired, they feel pretty lazy, especially on the weekends. You don't want to be too active. You don't want to do any work. Instead, you just maybe want to sit on the couch, watch some TV, relax. So the sloth doesn't really care. It's not that happy, but doesn't care so much that it's being held by these humans. He's just going to wait until he's back in his tree. But then the writer says our next discovery would not go as quietly. So he's setting up the following scene, saying, all right, so we've seen a lot of interesting animals. We saw a sloth. We actually managed to hold on to the sloth. But just wait a second, because the next thing that we actually saw, well, that wasn't quite as peaceful, quite as calm as, you know, seeing the sloth was.
Well, if you remember back to yesterday, in the opening paragraph of yesterday's article, the author was describing his encounter with a giant snake, and that's what we get into now in our final paragraph at day two. In a clearing, we saw a massive anaconda, 5 meters long and as thick as a telephone pole. Now, an anaconda is obviously a huge snake, probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in the Amazon rainforest. And this one was 5 meters long. Now, that is absolutely insane. That's huge. And not only is it long, but it's thick. It's as thick as a telephone pole. Those poles that go up into the air and hold telephone cables, those things are absolutely huge. So you can just picture a snake that is as thick as a telephone pole and 5 meters long. So this is something that you wouldn't want to mess with, and probably you would want to leave alone, but Oh no, Mike, our author, he's looking for the most dangerous experiences possible. So what do? Instead of getting away from the snake, they go right towards it.
Exactly. Hector charged into action and grabbed it by the head while our guide motioned for me to join in. So Hector, of course, just like the first day when he was the first one to jump into the river and swim with the piranhas, here in this case, he charges, meaning he kind of runs towards the snake. He charges into action. He's very quick. It's almost like he doesn't even think about it. He just immediately does it and he grabs the snake by the head. And then the guide, the Native American guide, motions for the rider to join in. When you motion to someone, it's like you're giving them a sign. Usually you use your hand, kind of, you know, wave them over, like, come on, try it out yourself. And so that's how the rider ends up holding on to this gigantic snake.
Now, I don't know a lot about catching snakes. I mean, I used to catch little tiny garter snakes, they're called. They're just tiny little harmless snakes. And of course, it's nothing like an anaconda, but I do know that when you do catch them, what you have to do is, whether it's a big anaconda or just a little snake, you have to keep their head from moving. You have to catch them by the head because that's where the sharp parts are, the teeth that can really hurt you. So you got to make sure they can't move their head. So that's exactly what they did. They all jump on this snake because it's going to take more than one person to keep a snake of this size down to keep it from being so dangerous, because not only can an anaconda bite you, but when they bite, then they coil themselves around whatever their prey is, and they just basically squeeze the air right out of them, so they have to make sure that doesn't happen either. So they're all jumping on this snake, and the animal, it's struggling, because the anaconda is not going to be happy that it's got a bunch of people on it, and although it was struggling, it was trying to, you know, wriggle free and probably get away. They combined to overpower him. They overcame him, they say, meaning they kind of were successful in keeping it still and overpowering it. And then they paused for photos with the hissing, spitting beast. So the snake's not happy, so it's going to make some sounds that are going to let people know that it say, hey, get away from me, you know, like, I'm not happy about this. So it hisses. Of course, snakes, that's the sound that they make. They go sss like that. That's what a hissing sound is. And it's also spitting, too, he says. So I guess it's, you know, it's sending things out of its mouth, like that, kind of, you know, like when people spit, I guess it would probably sound much more menacing or much more dangerous than what I just did. But I can just imagine sitting on this gigantic snake. That would be absolutely terrifying for me.
Well, that's true. I don't think I would ever try anything like that. Now, Joe, I understand the idea of, you know, grabbing the snake near its head, but I'm just wondering, what do you do when you want to let it go?
That I'm not too sure of. I mean, like, I've only ever seen it on nature programs. Usually when they catch a snake, what they're doing is they're trying to study it, right? So they catch it and they put it, like, in a bag or in a box or something. And then when they want to release it, you know, they do it kind of from a distance. Like if it's in a box, they have like something like a pole maybe to knock the lid off the box from a distance so they can just let it get out of there and get away from them and get back into the wild. Now, these guys, I'm not too sure what they would do. Maybe they just say, 1, 2, 3, go, and then just run away. But I'm not too sure.
Well, maybe you can ask Mike the next time you run into him. All right, listeners, now it's time for some Chinese explanation.
接着往丛林的更深处漫游，我们就看到呢，在这里 reaching into the trees, he pulled out a furry white mammal. 在这里的 furry 其实就是解释成为毛茸茸的意思，而 reaching 呢是一个分词构句的开头，用来呢就是说明先做了这样子的动作，有后面的事情发生，就发现了这个 furry mammal 居然是一个 sloth。指的就是树懒。Although unhappy to be held, the creature lazily tolerated our presence. 我们要注意的是，在 although 这样子的句子呢，后面呢，如果你的动词不是 be 动词，而是一般动词的时候，你就不能省略哦。而在这里 ，although 原来是写成 although he was unhappy to be held。而 he 指的就是后面的 the creature, be 动词 was 则是可以省略。所以尽管啊这只动物呢非常不高兴被人家抓住，但是他也只好慢慢的在那边忍耐着咯。 而 tolerate 就是有忍耐的意思。你说啊，我没有办法忍耐一个势利的人，你就可以说 I can't tolerate a snob。 即使我们在看到更可怕的事情发生，他们居然看到了一只巨大的 anaconda， 这里呢就是一只很大的伸展。而在这里呢，我们就看到 Hector 他的动作是 charged into action。 其实一般来讲 charge 有索费的意思或者是控诉，不过在这里 charge 则是有攻击向前冲的意思。 The dog suddenly charged at the girl， 这只狗啊突然向女孩攻击。所以其实 charge 后面也可以接介系词 at或是 against， 不过 Hector 很努力的呢就是 grabbed it by the head。 我们可以注意一下，在这里有一个介系词 by， 就抓住了这只蛇的头部。继续就看到呢，这只动物呢继续的努力呢，想要奋力的挣脱，但是大家还是把它制服，而且呢跟这只呢巨兽合照。我们要注意看的是这个动词overcome， overcome 则是有征服的意思。而 we paused for photos， 请注意哦， pause 是有暂时停留的意思，不要跟另外一个 pose， P-O-S-E 则是有摆姿势的意思。当然你要拍照摆姿势，你也可以说 pose for photos。
Alright, listeners, so today we read through the second part of Into the Jungles of Peru. And so we learned that, you know, this group, they saw a lot of different things. One of the first things that they saw, and Hector actually showed them, is that, you know, you can actually get water from a jungle vine in the Amazon. So if you're thirsty, you know, if you're really tired, all you have to do is hack down a jungle vine and pure water will come out.
And of course, one of the things that they went to the Amazon for was obviously the wildlife. And they found things like spiders and frogs, even a sloth up in the tree, which they took down and held for a while. But then at the end of the article, we got to the most exciting part, the massive anaconda that they found. They jumped right on it. They subdued the beast. They were able to control it. And they actually got some pictures sitting there with this gigantic snake. Now, that's not something that happens every day.
All right, listeners, please remember that today was just the second day of this unit. We still have one more day, so please remember to join us then. Until then, my name is Lily.
And I'm Joe.
Goodbye.